Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. At a scientific gathering some time ago, it was decided that with the advent of cloning, God was no longer necessary. One scientist was nominated to go to God and explain to him that he was not necessary in the world anymore. And so he went to God and he said, "God, we just don't need you anymore. Science has learned to clone people and things, and in other words, we can just do now what you did in the beginning." God smiled and said, "Is that so? Show me how you might do that." And the scientist says, "Well, we can take dirt and we can form it into the likeness of a person, and through the miracle of modern science, we can create life." "Most interesting," said God, "show me how you do that." So the scientist immediately bends down and begins gathering dirt, and God says, not so quick. Get your own dirt. Takes a while to catch on to that. I suppose the lessons for today would be something that a hellfire and brimstone preacher might really get his teeth into. There's so much to be angry about. There's so much to rant about. There are so many things that a tirade could be started about. We could talk about how we destroy the institution of marriage. We could talk about how divorce, even among Christians, is rampant. We could complain about unmarried people living together and having children out of wedlock. We could finally complain about the Supreme Court decision regarding gay marriage. A sermon on this text might be about any one of those things, except when you get to the last verse and suddenly the tone changes. It changes from complaining and bad things to "bring those little children unto me." And so let's take a little closer look at those lessons and see what we might glean from them. In the gospel lessons, the Pharisees again try to trick Jesus. They want him to say something that they can condemn him with, and of course they have tried this before and failed. Their question to him is it lawful for a man? Is it okay for a man to divorce his wife? A little background here might be helpful. In Jesus' time, there were two schools of thought. The first was regarding divorce, that infidelity was the only reason a divorce could be granted. The other was a misinterpretation of what Moses said back in Deuteronomy, where he said, they interpreted his statement as, well, a man can divorce his wife for any reason at all. And so the Pharisees were trying to trick Jesus to take one side or the other. He avoids their trickery, and he says to them, "Well, what did Moses tell you?" In Deuteronomy, Moses indeed did say that a man could give a certificate of divorce to his wife and handed it to her, and that was it. No lawyers, no court date, just a simple piece of paper. But then Jesus points out that Moses did that because of the hardness of your heart. Not because it was the right thing to do, but because he was trying to maintain some sort of civility in the world. And so it appears that even back in the wilderness, divorce was an issue and sinfulness was an issue. And then Jesus takes them all the way back to the creation. He says, "Then the Lord God said, 'It's not good that a man should be alone. I will make him a helper.' And so the Lord caused him to go into a deep sleep. And while he slept, he took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man." Adam must have been waiting for a while because he says, "At last! This is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh, and she shall be called woman because she was taken out of man." God had a solution for what was not good, because he had recently said in the creation when he created things, and it was good, or it was very good. God created this beautiful relationship, this institution between a man and a woman. And the text says they were naked and unashamed, and life was good. And that's the way God intended life to be. He intended it to be good. But then we read in Genesis chapter 3, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field the Lord God had made." And we know the results of that conversation. So I ask you this, how do you suppose that the Pharisees felt when Jesus told them that? Essentially, he said, "You ask a stupid question. God didn't intend for divorce to happen in the first place. It's only because of your sinfulness that Moses allowed it." I suppose those Pharisees might have felt a little bit sheepish, a little bit embarrassed, realizing that they were violating God's law when they were trying to keep their own law that they had made up themselves. Perhaps they even felt a little bit childish, putting their worldly desires ahead of God's commands. And if indeed they felt like children, then the next few verses about Jesus and the children would make a great deal of sense. For Jesus says, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them. For to such as these children belongs the kingdom of God. And whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like one of these little children shall not enter it." This is the third Sunday in a row that we've heard Jesus say something about little children. 2 weeks ago, the disciples were trying to decide who was the greatest among them. And Jesus said, "If you want to be first, you have to be last. And no one such as these, or other than such as these, who welcomes me also welcomes God." And last week we heard Jesus say this, "If anyone causes one of these little children to sin, it is better for him that a millstone be tied around his neck and he be cast into the sea." And today Jesus says about children, "Whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter into it." There must be something important here that Mark is trying to say if he says it three times in a row. You'll remember from a couple of weeks ago that we talked about that word children being translated as a person who was not only a child, an innocent child as we think about, but as someone who was inconsequential, someone who didn't have much value, someone who was weak and helpless. Figuratively, that word could be translated as an immature Christian. And so it would be appropriate to use this text to rant about how the institution of marriage has been destroyed, how people are living together without marriage, and how gay marriage is in violation of God's law. And we all know that. We all mourn the decline of marriage. We struggle to accept divorce even among Christians. We cringe to see that even our children live together and have children outside of marriage. We cringe when we notice that they don't come to church. That's not the way that God intended the world to be. It might have been if it hadn't been for that snake who was more clever. But today we live in a world that is broken. The institution of marriage is broken, and we are individually broken. Divorce was an issue in Moses' time. It was an issue in Jesus' time. It continues to be an issue in our time. But over all that time, children have been comforted by their parents. We can be comforted by Jesus when he says, "Come unto me, all you who are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And to paraphrase, "Let the children at Emmanuel Lutheran Church come unto me, and do not hinder them, for to such as they belong the kingdom of God. And I will take them into my arms, and I will bless them." Amen. Now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.